What's up, everybody? This is Eric LeGrand, owner of LeGrand Coffee House, and you're now listening to the Chop Sports Podcast Network.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast here on a Tuesday, July the 27th, 2021. Your host, Sturch and Gooch, and, well, Pete is on his way. He is COVID negative.
Not Pete.
Wow, AJ, sorry, I miss Pete, I guess. I guess that's the telltale sign that I miss Pete. We got to get video for him. We got to do something for him.
Do something for Pete. Pete went on a job interview. That's why he was supposed to call in last week.
Oh, he was. That's right. Okay.
But I hit him up the night before. I said, do you want to set up this segment? And he said, I'm actually going on a job interview tomorrow. So I'm not sure if that worked out.
Our little boy's all grown up. Yeah. Good for him, bro. Very good for him. But we are back here on a Tuesday on the Chop Sports Network. Programming note, no Squeaky Bum Time podcast today and no goddamn Jets on Friday.
And the Chop Heads MMA will be out eventually, but it is going to be
a little delayed. No big deal.
It's a bang up job.
That's not so time sensitive. I mean, you did talk about the fight, but you want to make sure you get at least before midweek and then you'll be fine.
Honestly, I didn't watch the MMA fights this past weekend.
And it's very hard for you to critique.
It was hard for me to even partake in the episode. But, you know, consistency is the lifeblood of podcasts, as our boy Laurent put it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. So that's just a quick programming note. Those guys will be back next week with their regular scheduled programming. Again, programming note for this week. I believe we still have Elena Cristina to come in on Thursday to record episode 2. Episode 1 is not up yet, so we're still waiting on that. As I edit that one, she's going to have a nice little banger of a podcast. I think it's going to be good. We'll see. And then, obviously, All About the Star, which is hosted by yours truly, will be hopefully recorded this week at some point and drop next week, the week before Hard Knocks debuts. If you're a Cowboys fan, you're listening to the sound of my voice, check out Blogging the Boys YouTube channel tonight at 6 o'clock. I'll be on that, breaking down some practice. We're talking about practice here in Dallas as we get set for our first game. And when I say our, are you okay with that? Like when people say we and my and us when it comes to your team?
Yes.
You're not one of those jerk-offs. You're like, you don't own the team. You actually do own the team.
I am not a jerk-off in any way, shape, or form, Dave.
As you read Dave at Dave, the end. No, but I hate that when people are like, you can't say we. You don't play for the team. I get it.
Invade other people's fanhood.
Right.
Don't question it. Don't invade it. Just
let him be.
That's a man law in itself. Let it be. Don't worry. You sound like a James Kang.
Right.
When you say, you play for them?
Yeah, no. You're on the team. Are you the GM?
No, but I care more than most of the players do. I can assure you.
Exactly. That's what makes us a fanatic, which is the you know where fan comes from. So I won't get into all that. However, yesterday, I won't get into the specific number, but we had our best day ever since we've started this NIL project for the CHOP athletes. We pumped in a lot of money yesterday for these kids. We just started. We dropped Madison Palumbo's shirt. We dropped a fire Tyreek Pitts shirt, man. Great job on that in that regard. Today, we might drop a couple more. These guys are making money. And you know what? By looking at the old spreadsheet here, we're doing a good thing. And I think this is really cool. And I'm really enjoying the reactions of these guys and the way that they get to promote themselves. And I said this yesterday, and I said this about Mike Tverdov. I think that like these guys are appreciative of everything that's going on. And, you know, we're working. We have a couple more lined up today. A couple studs. Another wrestler from Rutgers. Just a couple of other guys we want to get on board as we move forward with this thing. I had, you know, it was great pleasure talking to somebody on the way down here, a potential new designer that might come on staff with us. She could tell. She even said, like, you sound really excited about all that. And I'm like, yeah, man. You know what I mean? Like, this is the cool part of what we're doing now, and I'm excited. So, best sales day of the time period.
I'm reading updates here as we speak.
Four.
And I know that we were kind of reeling on content for the episode. We might have just got some.
What do we got?
Just trade talks. The MLB trade deadline is starting to heat up a little bit.
Boom, boom, boom. Yes, you're right.
And the Tampa Bay Rays are eyeing Max Scherzer and Chris Bryant.
Well, that would stink out loud, huh?
Also, the Mets are eyeing Scherzer. I read that they were kicking tires.
I understand. Scherzer is obviously one of the best pitchers in baseball. And I think, like, why can't the Yankees just pony up? Why not? If they think they're still in this thing.
Oh, it's because we're getting Severino back.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Severino. Okay, cool. That'll be the day.
Yankees are did make an
Trevor
offer.
Story.
An actual offer. There's no traction on that just yet.
But I wonder what they offered. I'm curious. I mean, there's no report because I guess you won't report it until they decline it, I guess?
No, I mean, like, if they knew what was offered, they would
Would they? I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, why wouldn't they just release it right now?
I would imagine that at least...
I guess that's a bad look if it gets rejected. At least
Washington would release it because they would like to see... Or not Washington. Colorado would release it based on the fact that they're probably just going to hold off and accept the best offer possible. And they would want other teams to know...
I read something on Twitter yesterday.
What to top.
Ready? I read something straight up. Would you, at this point, because of contract, Trevor Story for Giancarlo Stanton straight? Cricket.
Yes,
exactly. I said, who says no to that? I mean, look, Stanton, Jimmy Palumbo said it on his podcast. He's probably the better.
I'm taking his shortstop over a DH.
And then you can move Kleber back to second, and then you can move DJ over to first or third, or Shella stays where he's at or whatever.
Voit could DH
because Stanton has just clogged up the DH, really. I mean, if you're not going to play the field, get off the field completely. I think that would be a phenomenal trade. I don't think Colorado can afford it.
I really do like Giancarlo Stanton.
I do too. Personally. But, yeah, me too.
I've always liked him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, this is baseball and you take the middle infielder, center fielder all day.
Yes.
Especially one that's got a bat like Story.
What's the story? Speaking of Story, what's the story on the guy from Marte? Is that still a thing?
Yeah, I would imagine that the Yankees are involved with that too.
And he's Miami, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, would they trade him right before they play him? Because they play him this weekend.
Typically, that's when most teams would be able to hammer out a trade because they're in town.
They're right there. And it's Cashman sitting down with Jeets and see if we can steal another one from Miami.
Yankees did make a minor trade yesterday. Everybody's barking at the fact that they traded a prospect. But when you're 25 and he is playing well in AAA. But
I'm sorry, and I don't want to shout out too many other media companies, but John Boy, one of the guys, put out his it was Park, right? That's where they traded. Yeah. So they put out like a clip of him grounding out the second, like leave the memories alone. That was his only at bat for the Yankees. And he's gone. He's goodbye. Now he's going to turn into a freaking gold glove all-star that we've never like the one that got away. No, but look, anytime you're going to add arms to this lineup, this bullpen, after what the bullpen's been doing to you and working against you, then yes, I'm all for adding more relief pitchers. Why not 100,000%? So trade deadline is looming. When is that? That's tomorrow or that's... No, not for another couple days, right?
I have no idea.
I think it's the 31st. So today's
AJ?
The 20th. Oh, AJ. No. AJ, what do you think? Oh, what's that? Your COVID test came back negative after being around trillions of people?
AJ slept for 41 straight hours.
I was going to murder him at 7 o'clock. I'm like, where are you? You are not in college anymore, kid. Like, wake up. You're an adult. But no, he's been doing wonders for us. But yeah, so trade deadline looms. There are obviously... It's cool to see both the Yankees and the Mets both in the mix for everybody, really. But if Tampa adds Scherzer and Chris Bryant, I mean, that's a two-team race going forward. You know, them in Boston to win the AL East. And like I said, the Yankees, the best chance they have to make the postseason this year is if they get into that wild card game, you know, as the second wild card. So enough about the Yankees because they just depressed me. They open up a series tonight in Tampa Bay. So let's see what they can do there. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Well... Chris, it's over. Something that you've been saying since Jump Street, Aaron Rodgers spotted like a creep. Somebody creepily.
Yeah, that works.
Sure. Spotted Aaron Rodgers in like a ring cam type thing scenario of him walking in the doors as QB1 of the Green Bay Packers. Congratulations to you, Packers fans all across the world. You got your QB. This was a thing. It was never a thing, you know, and I guess.
Well, it was a thing.
It was a thing where he was pissed.
He's pissed. Yes. And now he's starting to get some of these concessions made by the team where we're hearing rumors that Randall Cobb will be back in town, which I'm aware.
Phenomenal Dallas Cowboy contributor.
I'm aware that Randall Cobb is definitely a shell of his former self.
He was great for Dallas.
Understand that, yeah. But he's a guy that I'll take on third down. He's absolutely a guy that will not fumble a punt in a big spot. All right, so we're back.
quick little technical. See, this is what happens when AJ's not here, but go ahead.
I don't even know that AJ would have been able to handle that.
He probably looked at like,
Randall Cobb is a shell of his former self, but he'll return punts. He'll do all the little things you need, and plus he's Aaron Rodgers' best friend. So you keep your quarterback happy. With the Aaron Rodgers news, now just a day after the news breaking that Davante Adams is a malcontent and not happy in Green Bay, with the new contract, the negotiations that they're working out, this now opens up the door for Davante to come back, which I think is another stipulation that Rodgers has to have, where it's like Davante gets signed. I understand
Kyle does that make sense, though? Because you're like, Davante gets signed, but if Rodgers is only going to be there for 1 year, So what's he care about? He's under contract anyway. So
look, just realize who we're dealing with right now. Mm-hmm. The Packers aren't just going to say, Aaron Rodgers, you could walk free after this season. That's not the deal. They've ordered the 2023 contract. So Rodgers will have a little more flexibility as to decide where he wants to play if traded. Because if they don't trade him and he retires, he doesn't forfeit any money anymore. So the signing bonus is there. He gets all his signing bonus. It just opens the door for them to have another year to sort this out and I guess analyze Jordan Love for another season. So there is no secret about the fact that the Rodgers days in Green Bay might potentially be numbered, but they're not over yet. And
at least this gives them the flexibility and option, and then we don't have to track him like Aaron Rodgers tracker all next offseason. He gets to go wherever he wants.
And we also now have more money because I'm pretty sure that with the voided contract, the restructure is going on. And yes, Davante Adams is going to play for the team that offers him the most. Now the Packers are in a position where they could potentially offer him the most, and getting Davante Adams back for the future going forward, I'm sure that's a huge deal for Rodgers. He doesn't want to lose his wide receiver one.
Absolutely, and you're not going to replace him with Randall Cobb as much as I like Cobb.
And also, to be truthful about it, the Packers are a legitimate Super Bowl contender. So winning football games, and then the Packers have a chance to win the Super Bowl this year. They also have a chance to lose another NFC championship.
They're up there.
And that's the running meme.
I will say this.
Back for one more NFC championship.
I will say this. I do have a friend who I don't know if he listens to the podcast, but at least he knows about Chop Sports. He knows he's probably like the last of a handful of friends I have left in like anybody I've met during wrestling. My buddy Jamie, he's from Boston. He lives in Boston. However, he's a massive Bears fan. So clearly, you're number one guy right off the rip. But he said, he's like, can we stop comparing this to The Last Dance? He goes, Jordan and Pippen won 6 straight titles. And he's like, and Rodgers and Adams haven't done nothing, but yet like they haven't won anything together. Yet they're comparing us to The Last Dance as if they've been to the finals or the Super Bowl at any point. I found it funny. I was like, I agree.
Not like funny, Dave. Sounds like a bitter Bears fan to me.
Of course he's a bitter. What have they done? You
also,
know?
Like, fuck your friend,
dude. Silva's the man, bro. I've
another
known him
quarterback
for a long time.
News. Zach Wilson is not reported to camp.
Does he have a contract yet?
No, he does not.
Oh, boy.
I would imagine that.
There, I'm sure.
That's a foregone conclusion. They'll probably get it done by tomorrow. What with the new rookie parameters that are in place the last
there's no negotiation.
There's not much wiggle room. There is room for negotiation as far as like guaranteed money, but what are the Jets thinking? You picked them one overall. Right, they had the first pick, two overall. That's your guy. Pay your guy.
Or three?
Simple as that. No, I think it was two.
Yeah, two. Because I know Lawrence and then...
One?
No, Lawrence.
Two.
Well, remember Lawrence took it to the final hour or the final minute for no reason
Speaking
whatsoever?
Speaking of Trevor Lawrence, the Gardner Minshew tweet.
Oh, my God.
He says, I haven't taken a shit in 3 weeks because number two is not an option. Well, I hate to break it to you, buddy, but...
You're not going to listen when you select the man number one overall. Chances are he's going to be the guy. But by the way, I also saw that was funny. But then I saw another meme that said if Trevor Lawrence throws a touchdown to Tim Tebow, you have to stay off of ESPN.com for at least a week. Because just be like, oh my God, the news and the buzz and the jersey sales and whatever else. I want Tebow to make that team so bad. I don't know if he's going to. I'm not sure if he has the talent to do it around the other tight ends of the team. My assumption is he's an athlete. You know, he's still got it.
Urban Meyer's
again
bringing Tebow in.
That's what I'm saying. You bring him in to try out. You're probably bringing him in to sign, and he makes
the
that
earth
roster.
Will literally explode.
Well,
if they cut Tebow.
The next, right. And you're going straight to hell if you cut Jesus Christ himself. But no, for real though, like when you bring a guy in like Tebow to do what he's got to do, I know it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, but just like your Aaron Rodgers stuff that we had to like deal with, you're going to have to deal with Tebow for the next month. Will he, won't he make the team? Now, that's going to be a story no matter what.
I'll take that story. This shit I had to fucking put up with.
Yeah, I was going to say, you went through.
Oh, and that's not over, by the way. Every little fucking thing that happens in Green Bay this year, they're going to try and make it a big deal. There is no doubt in my mind that
when's the last time this team was so dramatic? This team in particular?
Brett Favre?
Yeah, I guess when he retired 15
times.
Retired, unretired.
I mean, it goes with the territory.
But that's a stud
quarterback.
13 years ago. So, like, it's been a while since they've had any kind of real drama in Green Bay. They just under the radar, kick the shit out of other teams throughout the season, get to the NFC title game, and lose. That's just been the MO. Hey, listen, I would love to get to the NFC title game. Hasn't happened since 95, so I'm definitely craving it.
I've seen your notes. What's this mean for the league and how other players hold key? How the players hold keys when you're this good? I don't think it means much for the league. I think it only means something for teams that have an all-time great playing for them at
now. You're saying all-time great. Position. You're saying all-time great. I'm saying like QB1, no doubter. Like Rodgers, yes, is an all-time great, and he's probably, to me, again, pound for pound, probably the best to ever do it, skill-wise. But and not success, because Brady just shits all over everybody at this point. But I'm saying, like, when you're, I don't know, Deshaun Watson.
No.
You're super-duper talented. Yes, you come with a lot of baggage
we'll
now.
We'll say even a Dak doesn't get this pull.
No, he doesn't. Because
you have to be a QB1, destined to be in the Hall of Fame with massive amount of success in your rear view.
Mahomes?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? So yeah. Now if Mahomes...
Maybe not even yet, because Mahomes is getting paid $50 million fucking dollars.
So a year. Really, forever.
You know, they'll be like, all right, you want to shave some of that off so we could pay some people, which is inevitable anyway. They're already...
Him, Kelsey, yeah. You know, they all got to restructure eventually.
But yes, Mahomes is on his way to that.
Kels.
For sure.
For show. Going to get show. That for show.
I said shat because I just drank two coffees and I have to shit. So
there you go. I'm also on
and
a new
you would
kind.
Wonder if anybody in my life knows that I record a podcast from around 10:30 to 11:30.
No. This happens every day. That's why I always tell you to turn the phone over like I do.
No, but you see the content I've gotten because this is where true. All the updates yeah, pour things in. Pop all up. The updates pour in.
Correct.
What are you reading?
AJ posted the Madden ratings from yesterday to kind of recap what we talked about yesterday about the receivers. And Joe Zulo goes, I know who Dave's picking as the number one receiver in the league. And I'm like, I'm not. But you heard me. I didn't say that Cooper was any better than anybody else, except for the two people he's in front of. All right. So anyway, the Rodgers thing, put the bed. We're in training camp mode now. Every team reports today. We're excited about it. You know, something that Gio said in the morning on Boomer and Gio on WFAN, he said that.
What are you plugging the fucking
I just want to
rivals?
Refer to who they are. Yeah. Gio.
Bum.
I love Gio. I think he's funny. All right. Gio's cool. Boomer's the man. I love Boomer.
You really like that
I
show?
I love Boomer. And I love Carton was great. And then he teamed up with Roberts. And I think that show is atrocious. And even though they're kicking the shit out of Michael Kay over on ESPN. I can't buy into Evan Roberts. He's like a fanboy. His laugh is terrible. His laugh is, and I'm like, oh my God, shut the hell up.
I don't listen to the radio anymore.
Well, yeah. Cause you're,
I'm a Spotify guy, Dave.
All right. Well, what else are you listening? Right, we'll get into that conversation another day.
Nothing.
What?
Yeah. I don't even listen to my own podcast.
Yeah, we listen to the network.
My voice is
no, but
disturbing.
So anyway, so he was saying that, hey, you know, I can't get excited about training camp. I'll get excited about week one, and football is my favorite sport by far. I don't know about Gio, and I don't know about everybody else, but when these guys walk into training camp, I'm absolutely jazzed to the max. Like last week when the Cowboys came and started practicing, I am looking and critiquing every single route that these guys are running. I'm a psychopath.
Yeah, my morning wood was a little more wooden today, Dave.
I told you I sent you that screenshot. I'm like, I just got Gucci so aroused. Like, and I'm sure he already saw it, you know, before I'm not breaking any news to you that you already know. I get it. But Gucci was definitely excited. I could tell in the text. I could tell in the
you
text.
You already know.
With the it depends. Like, if it's one exclamation mark, sure, it's text speak. But when it's a multiple, my man's pumped over here, and rightfully so. You know, myself and Gooch are both getting a little older. One of the first things to go is your vision. Thank goodness for our hookup over at Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey, right on Main Street next to the train station. They have glasses for all ages, all budgets. They have safety glasses, sports glasses. They are a full-service powerhouse offering eye exams and even free lenses for the kids. They work with BCBS, AAA, AARP, giving massive discounts. They're open 5 days a week, closed on Wednesdays and Sundays. Call 732-326-3937 to get your first pair of Ray-Ban, Burberry, Coach, Polo, you name it. They got it. Go see Craig and Janine right now. Before we get into the NCAA stuff that I want to touch on with Oklahoma and Texas, I know this ain't the Chop Heads MMA podcast, which you can listen to later. They break down the TJ Dillashaw fight that happened over the weekend and whatever else you talk about. But by the way, how great is my scoop?
Oh God,
dude, gold.
I didn't realize he looked that sick. Until you see it in his screenshot. He was not doing well.
I paused it at certain points. I'm like, hey, he looks fine. I'm like, oh my God, he looks like he's going to heal over at this point. I'm like, I'm using this. Go check that out on the Chop Sports Facebook group of my Joe Rogan and Scoop Espo. But you guys always break down great, phenomenal show, MMA show. But I do want to touch on something that kind of surfaced last night, and we're talking Conor McGregor. Now, Conor McGregor seems to be off his rocker again, and I can attribute this to A, cocaine, or B, pain pills.
Yeah, he's on and whiskey.
And whiskey, and proper 12.
And he's just got a shitload of money and nobody telling him, Conor,
don't do that. Down. Put your phone down, Conor. Why?
His wife lets him bang other dudes.
I mean,
other chicks. So I'm sure she doesn't care what he tweets.
He saw me say, I'm sorry, what was that? Breaking news. Bum, 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 bum.
Conor bangs other dudes.
Well, listen.
Playing touch butt in the park.
But, like, honestly, though, this can't be good for the sport. And I will say that I read that tweet 50 times in response to Habib, whatever you want
to call. If you let Tommy hear this, what you're about to say, he's going to, the casual Dave joking moniker might stick with him at least, because I'm going to explain.
All right, well, explain the tweet, because I read it 50 times and I said, what? Okay, like, so, I don't get it. I'm like, he's like, it's so dark. Or somebody, who posted it?
Kyle.
He's like, it's so dark. And I'm like, so dark. Right, somebody explain this to me.
After the Dustin Poirier fight, Khabib tweeted out, good always, congrats to Dustin, put on a nice performance. Good always defeats evil.
So called Conor McGregor evil.
Yes.
Sure.
So that's fine. Conor said, okay, COVID is good, father evil. Because Khabib's dad died in the pandemic from COVID.
Oh my God.
Dun, dun, dun.
Right.
Dark.
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 Whoa,
Conor.
Dude, pump the brakes, bro. I'm thinking he's like making a metaphor about COVID.
And that's not all. Conor's going off. He hasn't stopped. They're just tweets and then deleted. Tweets and then deleted.
But people are going to screenshot him and catch him all the time, bro.
Now, you want to say, there's certain things about Conor where I've always been cringe. Oh, Conor. But you know what? Conor, this is not what you should be doing. You know, the things that he's saying to Poirier's wife, and he even had someone Photoshop some type of weird message exchange recently, like yesterday, with Conor and Dustin Poirier's
wife. Oh, so they're Photoshopped. They're not true.
Yeah, because it's the at in the picture is Dustin's husband. So obviously,
these are not jabs.
Her handle.
But these are jabs.
Yeah, they're jabs. That I could almost fuck around with, because
I don't know, man. Somebody says something about my wife, I'm going to smack him dead.
You want to fight him, right?
I'll smack him the fuck dead.
So my point being is, Conor wants the Poirier fight when he comes back. So if he gets the Poirier fight based off of this, then he did what he was supposed to do. Khabib's not coming back. So I don't know what.
Never?
No. Khabib's like 195 now.
Oh, he's walking around like a fat bastard.
He could probably cut the weight, but he always had a problem with making 55 anyway. If Khabib comes back, he's going to be at 170. Conor has fought at welterweight in the past, and maybe with the injury, he might have problems coming back down to lightweight. Mm. But I think that Khabib's biggest win in his entire career at this point would just be to never fight Conor again and just let Conor fucking wobble.
Because he'll lose. It's almost like ignoring a text.
Yeah, I think
it's better to be silent.
There's a shred of CTE, alcoholism, and drug abuse with Conor right now.
That sucks.
And I'm not saying that he's abusing drugs, because when you get injured like that, you know, you're on drugs.
I can tell you right now that's the way it goes.
But I worry that Conor doesn't have the right people in his life, and I'm not questioning the people in his life. I'm just saying, you know, judging by the history of Conor McGregor, he does what the fuck he wants, doesn't really listen to anybody, and there's so much money being thrown at his people that they're kind of like, whatever, bro. You know,
he's
going to make you another $40 million.
Then riddle me this, Batman. Who the hell was that guy in the second Dustin fight? Going into that, family man, everything's good, loving life.
Well, like, that's my point.
Where is that guy?
Nobody wants to see that guy, first of all.
No, but I would rather see that guy.
I wouldn't.
As a fan, you wouldn't. But as a human being, you would rather see that guy.
Well, I'm not a human being.
Oh, all right, you're a robot.
So it's besides that. But I saw a fucking amazing tweet, and it was a meme of Conor in the Just Bleed. And it was Conor's face, and it had a bottle of proper 12 and like a bottle of pills or something.
Oh my God. Dude.
Just tweet.
No, but like, honestly, dude, I would rather, personally, on a personal level, I would rather see him okay. This looks like he's spiraling again. What's the next thing? Because you know it's not going to be a tweet down the line. There's going to be something. The guy threw a goddamn dolly through a bus window.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Conor's fucking nuts. And
he punched an old man in the face.
I wish he wasn't doing the things that make it hard for a fan of his like me to get behind what he's doing because I want to be able to root for Conor. I want him to come back. I want a Conor fight. Everybody wants a Conor fight.
It's the most heaviest draw fight ever, every time.
And I don't defend him in these situations, but I do understand the way his mind works. I guess I don't understand the way his mind works because it's all fucked up at this point. Mm-hmm. But Conor gets the fights. Conor gets the title shots. Conor gets, because of the way he is. Because
Uncle Dana just got a broken leg
and he's on the ground promoting his next fight already. So Conor has a different way of thinking and a different way of doing things, and by no means am I defending his actions because it's fucking deplorable.
Really?
You like that word?
I right? like that word. I love that right? word.
Conor, you're deplorable.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, he's probably going to get a huge fight in his return after, and he's ranked 10th or 9th in the division now.
Yeah. Well, I guess it remains to be seen, but again, off the rails again, Conor. You kind of, my thoughts go out to Conor's family who have to see all this shit because you know his wife sees it. You know, not his kids, obviously, they're too young, but like, you just want to hope that, like, if you want to promote a fight, promote a fight. But like, just don't, I don't know. You're hanging out with the wrong crowd again. He's with the Biebs yesterday or another photo that surfaced. Talking about
somebody that just died, I think that's where you draw the line.
Little too much. Little too much. See, that wouldn't that, you don't think that would pull a Khabib out to be like, I'm going to beat this guy to dust?
No, because
He's so passive and just like, not,
I wouldn't say he's passive, but he put that chapter behind him. He beat up Conor. He retired from the sport. Khabib is a guy that he's making money. Right? He's, first of all, he came from nothing.
Correct.
Right? And he's not a guy that needs glamour. He's not going to buy a yacht. So Khabib is good. He's got generational wealth at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his father was a big part of what he was doing when he was doing it. And now he's kind of taking on the role that his father had with these fighters. He's a coach now. Yeah. So.
And you referred to the Khabib guy. You know what I mean? Like there's like a chain.
Don't get me started on that.
But I'm saying there's a chain of people underneath Khabib now training under these. They're all killers. They're all killers. And they're all really good at the sport. And it'll be exciting to see. It's almost like I don't know, an Andy Reid coaching tree, you know, like where this guy went this way, this guy, you know, so it's exciting to see where Khabib takes these guys.
Khabib is still involved in MMA. You know
he's going to be a corner man, so he's going to be, his face will be around.
The only way I see Khabib coming back wouldn't be for a fight that of a guy he already beat. He's put that shit in his rear view.
It would have to be somebody jumping off the charts.
I could see Khabib and a GSP down the line for like a legacy fight when they're both a little, you know, that's the only thing I could see. That's the only thing I see.
Khabib. It would be a draw, don't get me wrong, but a fight itself, I don't know, man. It depends how many years down the line you're talking.
That's the only fight I could see Khabib coming out of retirement for.
Okay.
Is a GSP fight.
Because you think GSP is one of the greatest of all time, correct?
I do. I think GSP bottled a lot of his opponents, meaning he fought them when they were at the point where he could most easily beat them as far as moving up to middleweight. You wouldn't see him move up to middleweight when Anderson Silva was the title holder, but when Bisping had it, he was like, oh, now is my chance to go be a, you know.
True. Okay, I see what you're getting. I totally understand. But yeah, again, you want more talk like that? Because Chris obviously knows a shit ton more than I do. Go check out Chop Heads MMA. He's with Tommy D. And of course, Scoop Espo helps out as well on that show. So there's breaking news, obviously, and it's just because it's been transpiring within the last couple of days. It says the NBA draft is on Thursday.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, bro. Like, wow. All right. Anyway, but anyway, it's like I'm looking at the headline. So Oklahoma and Texas. All right. Both teams that are in the Big 12.
I forgot I'm doing a podcast. I just started eating.
That's fine. Big 12, correct, currently?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So Big 12, and now they want out, and now they have they formally asked the SEC to be a member invite to move conferences. Now, this is a college by college thing. I didn't know you could do this. I thought you were just grouped in. Like I don't remember when Rutgers went to the Big Ten.
The NCAA has no say in anything at all pretty much anymore because they were basically a governing body that just ruled with an iron fist on the players. As far as the teams go, yeah, they sign contracts to join conferences. The conferences kind of police themselves as well. And when I say police themselves, I mean they kind of run themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't say police it, but
that's the same
you
thing.
Sign a contract to be in a division in a conference for a set amount of time, and then if teams start leaving the conference after their contracts are up or their deals are up, they could go wherever they want. And conferences disband all the time. You look at the Big East is gone. There's a ton of them that are gone.
They
expand. The Big Ten is now 12 teams. What's going to end up happening is they're going to be super conferences, probably five Power Five conferences.
I heard Jimmy saying that yesterday,
and it's going to change the landscape of college football. I wouldn't say in a good or bad way, because that's inevitable anyway, especially with the Wild West NIL thing going on.
Yeah.
And what you talked about, now there's a College Football Players Association trying to be formed.
Yeah.
Teams like, I don't say teams like, just specifically Notre Dame, it kind of leaves them in a weird spot because they've been independent for a
long time. Where did they play last year? They played with somebody.
No, they're independent.
Oh, no, they jumped on with somebody for a year because of the COVID shit.
Maybe the ACC?
Okay, fine.
I have no idea.
I think it was the ACC. But now, like, now they're back to being independent. They got it. I mean, like, what benefit does this do for them? Notre Dame is Notre Dame. They'll always be.
The problem you're going to have with Notre Dame now is that with – if these teams all have 16 teams, these conferences all have 16 teams, there's not going to be much wiggle room for out-of-conference play. I think it also opens the door for an expansion of the playoffs, which I think is also inevitable. So it's really a foot-in-the-door type deal.
I just hope it doesn't get any bigger than like six.
When you have Oklahoma, Auburn, Texas, Alabama, Florida, all these teams that three of them in that conference could potentially have a stake or a legitimate gripe to be in the BCS playoff or whatever you want to call it. I don't even know.
It's called
college football playoff.
No, yeah. CFP. Yeah. Sure. College football playoff.
Okay. What
yeah.
the tournament is.
Yes, okay.
I think that tournament at least is going to expand to 12, maybe even more.
Whoa. How do you do that? You got to start that damn thing in November then. Like, where's the time for these guys to play?
Dave, you realize how long of a break is between...
I get that part, but like, I think you do the six thing. The one and two get the bye, and then four other teams. Six, top six teams in the country get into this playoffs. You make it any more than that, it's like it starts to feel a little oversaturated.
Money rules, and the TV deal money is phenomenal.
Yes,
and
Fox will probably throw this and NBC here.
Four games and neutral sites and things like that. I think it's a no-brainer at this point. They're always going to expand. You didn't think that the NFL would do it. Now they're doing it, and they're already talking about another game. Like, already, they're saying they're going to add another fucking week to the schedule. That's in the talk. The NFL will never stop expanding. But same with college football. Just Notre Dame is going to have to jump on board with a conference because they're not going to be able to schedule any good teams because there's teams that are going to have nine interconference games a year guaranteed.
Right.
You're only playing 12. Where does Notre Dame fit in the mix?
Right.
You know where they fit in? The Big Ten. No doubt.
Yeah?
I think Notre Dame that's going to happen soon. That's going to be the next thing that starts being talked about is Notre Dame, and then you're going to start talking about the expansion of the college playoffs very, very soon.
Well, we've already heard whispers of the college playoffs expanding, and I think everybody's in favor of that because I think because there's always one team. They're like, how did that team not get in? You know what I mean? Like, there's always one or two. That's why I say six.
You also might see a lot of these schools disband programs altogether. Maybe not football, but if you're... Yeah, because the conference things are huge. You're going to have... football teams are making the money, but we'll say women's volleyball or there's certain others. If they're not generating revenue, then they'll
probably get junked, and that's just it's the nature of the beast. It's a business at the end of the day. So we'll see. I mean, look, the beginning, the membership wouldn't begin until 2025. So obviously, there's a specific contract that OU and Texas have with their respective conference, which is the same, if I'm not mistaken.
And they're going to be desperate to try and what is it, Pac? The Big 12?
Big 12, I think.
Are they going to be desperate to try and fill those spots? But I would imagine that this is going to start the trickle-down effect of other teams announcing that they're leaving, because if they're not getting their biggest draws on the schedule in their conference anymore, why would they stay?
That's very true.
It's going to be pretty much just hand-picking. The SEC has the...
That's the powerhouse. I mean, that's...
And the Big 10, yeah.
Right. I mean, I would say, I don't even know, but Big 10 has Ohio State. You know, and then after that, it's like...
Penn State.
Michigan hasn't been really, like, with Jim Harbaugh, like, I believe they could turn that around.
It's still fucking Michigan.
Okay.
Michigan's definitely...
Yes, like, they have the name value. I'm just saying they haven't been a competitive team in a couple of years. Like,
Michigan's Michigan.
Okay.
They'll be back.
I'll take your word for it.
There was a long period of time where Notre Dame was shit. It's the ebb and flow. It happens. Michigan's
a powerhouse college. What do you think this NIL thing does going forward for recruiting? Like, we have somebody on our roster. I won't name names, but we have somebody on our roster said, you can't do this, you can't do that. And I'm just like, whoa, it's a little bit more strict than, I don't know, say Rutgers has been. And you're like, damn, dude, like, that's got to be going now into the negotiations of where these kids want to go to school, right? Like,
of course.
Hey, where could I make money if I come here?
Everything is on the table as far as
the landscape of college football has changed.
When we're talking recruiting, you got some schools that are legitimately sponsoring players, like they're doing it. You got Miami football is giving their players $500 a week.
It's crazy. All of a sudden it became a full-time job.
I could be wrong about that, but I think you're right. I know that there's something going on there. I know that Alabama quarterback is set to make $1 million this year. He hasn't played a fucking snap.
That's unbelievable. Now, unbelievable.
Why would that guy go to the college that we're talking about?
Any other college that has a restriction. Yeah. I mean, like,
I wouldn't.
Right.
And it's not to say, unless it's your dream to play there, but then you're going to be like.
Now, here's my other question. When it comes to recruiting, that's one thing. How many transfers are we going to see now? You know, like, hey, I'm a stud here.
I'm already in the portal.
Right.
That's basically what we're hearing.
Yeah. Like, you're trying to get out of your school because you feel like there's an opportunity, not just for playing time, but now financial reasons. You know, you can go to a Miami out of, let's just say you're playing in, I don't know, some rinky-dink school, but not even rinky-dink school. Let's just say you're playing at Bama. Well, not Bama. It's, you know what I'm talking about. Central Florida, right? Central Florida gave you X amount of endorsements and all this shit to play. And all of a sudden you're like, well, the Gators are coming and they want me to play for them. And Michael Irvin said he'll personally give me a $2 million. Well, what do you know what I mean?
Michael Irvin was from Miami, not Florida. But
what'd I say? Oh, I'm sorry. Wow.
Gators. I know you knew that, but I didn't want it to go unsaid and then have fucking someone text you.
Fine. I'm fine with it. College football is not my forte. First of all, I do know where my stars of the Cowboys went to school. Yes. But yeah, well, I mean, look, the whole thing is changed. And I think it's going to be interesting. This college football season, I'm very pumped for it for obvious reasons. You know, we're going to be tailgating with, we totally left out the fact that we had a great marketing meeting yesterday, by the way, as we closed this up today. But we sat down with a friend of Jimmy's, another Colonia guy. What else is goddamn new? There's always somebody from Colonia linked to something. But yeah, a great meeting with the marketing, quote, marketing department of what Chop Sports can start bringing to and giving our athletes, you know, like, not compensating them per se. They're already getting compensated with their sales, but at least a thank
with
you.
With an assist.
Yeah. Right.
Well, thank you, and little care package that we're going to be giving everybody.
Not everybody. Correct. Sorry.
But people. You know, hit a certain threshold, and we are going to definitely have to start tiering that out a little bit. But that's another
down the road, another conversation for another day. But the NIL thing is big. It has changed the landscape of college football, and this year should be no different. It'll be exciting to watch. We'll see what some of these new kids can go. I'm very excited about the guys that we get to associate ourselves with when it comes to college ball. We're actually talking to our first basketball player today. So that's another thing, another avenue to go down, because once football's over, you got to, you know, you make that move into basketball. But yeah, so we shall see. NBA draft comes up. We'll maybe talk more about the NBA tomorrow as the draft approaches and free agency starts. Has started already, essentially, for most NBA teams. So, yeah, that'll about do it for this Tuesday. We got a lot of work to do. We're going to get to work right now. So on behalf of Sturch and Gooch, this has been another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast. Be sure to look for the Jimmy Palumbo Show. Be sure to look for Pretender to Contender. Joe Matarese is back with his new episode. I believe he focuses on his favorite vacation spots. So definitely check him out. Just stay tuned to the network. Be sure to check out chopsportsmedia.com. Go buy some merchandise. Go support some of these NIL kids. And with that being said, we'll see you guys tomorrow.
I can finally go take my dump.
Do it.